into this world by divine design. He created you with a purpose. And we want to help you as a church find and fulfill that purpose, because I believe that's where you feel contentment. And when you're content, everything else can be tackled, can be conquered, right? So we've been on a series the last 5 weeks on contentment, and Pastor Mike Forman has part six. Please welcome Pastor Mike Forman as he brings us the next part in our series on contentment. Love you, man.
Good morning, Victory Church. Good morning. What an honor it is to be up here. And I just want to say something about Memorial Day, too, because it's just incredible. Me and Lane were just sitting up here, and Lane's father passed away almost a year ago. And her father served in the Navy, became a U.S. citizen by, you know, serving. He's originally from the Philippines. And every time we go into Jacksonville, there's a national cemetery there. And each time we go, there's more and more coffins, more and more of those stones memorializing them. And we're just amazed and astonished at how many are passing away. There's a whole generation of those who've served who are passing away. That's incredible. And I just want to say something about that at the beginning. It's just in our hearts, we gotta remember them and just be grateful and thankful for what they've done. It touches home. Thank you, Pastor Bill, for showing that. It's awesome. Also, I want to honor this guy too, because he's just an amazing senior pastor. I love him so much, and if you would just give him a hand, because he's just so amazing. I just appreciate this guy at a wedding last night. Just joined in with all the young people dancing in one of the line dances. And just awesome, and not just because he's a cool pastor, but because he's a loving pastor, compassionate. I remember when I graduated from college, and I was looking for a job, and I needed a job, and he graciously allowed me to work for him for a period of time, and I was able to pay bills because he offered me a job. So personally, I just want to thank you for that. I don't know if I thanked you enough for it when you did offer me that job. It helped me through a tough time. Also, I want to honor Claudette Colvin. Is she here this morning? Claudette, I love you so much. You're so awesome. Let me explain a little bit about Claudette, because she helps me in the church office just about every week on a Thursday. She's part of the A-team. That's the administration team at our church. And I coined the phrase, the A-team. You guys, you and Christy Odom, who's now Christy Hudson, because she got married yesterday. And her and Zach. Notice we didn't have a drummer this morning because Zach's off on his honeymoon. And we'll look forward to him coming back. But I still think the worship team did an amazing job as well. And in fact, all the dream teams are doing an amazing job this morning. Just give all the dream teams. That's the ministry teams at Victory Church. And Sunday morning wouldn't happen without all you guys. So we just love you so much. Thank you. So this sixth part on contentment, I titled it, A Pure Heart is the Key. A Pure Heart is the Key. And just let me preface this whole message with this. Everyone struggles with contentment. Everyone struggles in this area from time to time. You may be in a season where everything's going good. Trust me, you'll be in a season where it may not go so well, and you're going to have to struggle with contentment. It's just the truth. This is the way the world is. Everyone struggles in this area. Why? Because everyone has dreams and aspirations. Everyone has to experience hope deferred at some point, where you set your sights on some goal, some dream, some vision that you feel like, you know, you got to accomplish that. And it could be delayed, and you could go through a rough spot where it seems like you're not going to accomplish that at all. So you're going to struggle in this area of contentment. We're all in the same boat. Everyone experiences disappointment at some time in their life. No matter what, I want to encourage you, God still has a plan. God's plan is always true, always good, steadfast. I mean, he's the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. He's a rock. That means he's unshakable. And if he's promised us something, that means we can take it to the bank. We can be rest assured he's going to accomplish it in us and through us. It's going to happen. Amen. And the thing is, contentment is one of those issues where if we struggle in this area, usually it's something deep down. That's the root cause. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. God wants us to dig deep. And that may seem scary, and I want to encourage you, don't be scared. God loves you. And he laid this message on my heart because he really wants us to deal with the real issues, not just skirt around them, but really deal with the real issues that cause us to lack contentment in our lives. and cause us to be held back in accomplishing what God wants us to do. So if you have your worship guides this morning, there are sermon notes inside. If you would pull those out and grab a pen, and we're going to start filling in the blanks a little bit. The first fill in blank, contentment is a matter of the heart. A matter of the heart. It's so true. Contentment is a matter of the heart. Something that God placed inside of us could be a dream or vision, a goal or something. And really, if we're discontent, it's something deep inside that may be pulling us back from accomplishing that vision and that dream and that goal. Or we're going through a season where it's just not, we're not realizing it. But God assures us that we can find contentment in Him. Amen. He assures us that. And all it starts in the heart. Everyone in this world is climbing some kind of mountain. Something, some dream, some vision. And I'm going to relate it to a mountain this morning. Some kind of mountain. You're trying to climb. And it reminds me of Mount Everest because I used to watch National Geographic and all these amazing, you know, stories of people climbing Mount Everest. And some of those stories go well. Some of those stories don't go well. But it's incredible when someone reaches the summit. And there's a short video that I want to show you that just shows this perspective of someone who's reached the top of their mountain that they wanted to climb and just how awesome it looks. If you would show that video, Kevin. Has a cool soundtrack also.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the line. Up to the platform of surrender, I was brought but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, clear your heart. Cut the cord. Are we human? Or are we dancer? My sign is vital. My hands are cold.
When I first watched that video. I have no idea what that song meant. Sounded good. Mount Everest is like 30,000 feet tall. 30,000 feet. When you get up at the top, you can't breathe. You need oxygen masks. It's an incredible feat. There was a second video I didn't show you this morning because it was pretty morbid. It shows what happens when someone doesn't quite make it to the top. No, I'm not going to share that one, Doug. Sorry. We don't want to see that this morning. Here's the thing. There can be mountains that we climb that God's calling us to, and there will be mountains that we're climbing that God has not called us to. If God's called you to climb a mountain and accomplish a dream and a goal, He's going to see you to the top. He'll provide you that oxygen mask. He'll sustain you through it, that journey. But if you're climbing a mountain that God has not called you to climb, that's going to be very hard to be content because you're going to be frustrated and you're going to be bitter. You're going to just question marks just swirling around. I thought this was what you wanted me to do, God, and it may not be. I want to encourage us all this morning to just evaluate, look inward, and throughout this message, just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal some stuff. Don't be afraid to ask that, but just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal some stuff in your heart that maybe be holding you back from climbing the mountain that God's calling you to climb. Okay? Everyone's climbing a mountain. I want to look at this scripture. It's Psalm 24, verse 3 through 5. It's in your notes. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? That's a good question this morning. Who's going to climb it? Who may climb it? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure. The title of the message is A Pure Heart is the Key. Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies, they will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Oh, there's so much in that. There's so much in that. Let's unpack it a little bit. See, climbing God's mountain, the ultimate goal, I hope, for everyone in this room is to ultimately see your Heavenly Father in heaven. Yes. Ultimately see Him. Come before Him unashamed. Standing before Him, and He looks down at you with just loving eyes, and He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. If you reach that point, you've climbed the mountain that God wanted you to climb. You have. You've climbed the mountain, the ultimate mountain, and that's to know Christ. That's to know God. You've climbed that mountain. And He encourages us to evaluate our lives and see, okay, how am I climbing this mountain? Am I even equipped to climb it? Do I have all the gear? What's the gear? Pure hands? Pure heart? What's that? Pure motives? Not worshiping idols. Idols are like, it's like dead weight. It's just holding you, keeping you from climbing. It's just dead weight. God cares about the heart. He's always cared about the heart. You can see it throughout Scripture. He's always cared about people's hearts. He's always wanted relationship with us. Pure heart is the key. And here's the thing. We can climb a mountain, no matter what mountain it is, whether it's God's mountain or a mountain that we've just decided to climb ourselves. And we can climb it under our own willpower. For those who are strong-willed, man, you feel like you can accomplish anything, and if anyone tells you you can't, well, they're stupid. Because I'm going to do it. And strong-willed people go, amen. And you can climb only so far, I'll say, with willpower. You can climb only so far. And those who are strong-willed can definitely, I mean, they can become CEOs, corporations, they can accomplish, as Pastor Kaivon says, they can take over the world. They can. Strong-willed people can do amazing things. Terrible things even, too. I mean, but it's just, but here's the thing, you can still only go so far. Until the mountain just, you realize it's crumbling underneath you. And it's not really something that God wanted you to climb. Here's the thing, to climb God's mountain, you need a team. No one climbs Everest without a team. You need a team. I'll give you a hint. It's the church. It's the family of God to help you, encourage you. You need a team. And you need God, the chief shepherd. You need someone guiding you who has the right path up the mountain to lead you to the top. And most importantly, and the subject of this message is you need a new heart. You need a new heart with new desires. Because if you have desires in your heart that are contrary to God's desires, then you're going to be constantly pulled to start climbing a different mountain. Does that make sense? You're going to be constantly pulled because your desires will be for things in this world, and maybe God's not calling you to do those things. And you're going to feel this tug, and I'm telling you, you're not going to be content. If you have this struggle within you, you're not going to be content. And it's going to be very miserable life. I know, I've gone through it. I've tried it my own way. It's not fun. It's just not fun. The next fill in blank is contentment is a choice and is not based on circumstances. After we receive a new heart from God, we come into a relationship with Him. We repent of our sins. We come to God and say, Lord, give me a new heart. I want your desires in my heart. He gives us this fresh new heart that's ready to just have the Word of God just planted in it, to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's awesome. It's amazing. And then from that new heart, we have this ability to choose to be content no matter what our circumstances. No matter how windy it gets on that mountain, we can choose to be content. No matter how cold or frostbitten we feel, we can choose to be content. No matter what the circumstances. The Apostle Paul knew this very well in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. The Apostle Paul was the man. He was awesome. I mean, several times getting 39 lashes. I get a paper cut and I cry. I don't cry, but it's annoying. I tell you what, it's annoying. But man, I mean, Paul, he just endured so much for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He climbed his mountain, and he talked about it at the end of his life when he was writing a letter to his spiritual son, Timothy, who's saying, I'm finishing the race. I want to finish strong, and I'm doing it. My time is almost up. You got to take the baton. You got to get going. You got to keep running. Encouraging his spiritual son. I'm going to encourage all of you. Keep climbing your mountain, God's mountain. Keep climbing it. Don't give up. No matter what the circumstances, Paul chose from his heart to learn contentment. And here's the thing. The interesting thing about the Apostle Paul is God took Paul off of his own mountain. You know what his mountain was? Persecuting the church. That was his mountain. It's like, I'm going to persecute these Jesus people, testifying that Jesus rose from the dead, messing up my whole religious thing going on. And that was his mountain. He was, and I'll tell you what, if God hadn't have intervened, what would have happened to the first century church? Would we even be in America worshiping right now? It could have been squashed out that first century, because Paul, who was Saul at the time, he was very strong-willed. And God, in his sovereign love, said, nope, I'm going to put you on my mountain now. He had an experience on the road to Damascus where he was about to persecute some more Christians, and God just appeared to him, blinded him with his brilliant light, and Paul experienced humility. Humility. And he had a heart change. At some point, he had a heart change after that, and he fell in love with God. Incredible. And I'm going to share a little bit from my own experience, too, because my mountain that I wanted to climb, like my whole life, was to have an amazing, stable job with stable income. That's my personality. Stability. Keep it steady, man. Don't rock the boat. Keep it steady. So I grew up in a home where the finances just, I love my parents, and they did the best that they could, but there were struggles financially. It was like a roller coaster. Emotionally for me, it felt like a roller coaster, just up and down, and mainly down, and then sometimes up, and then down really fast, getting whiplash from the finance roller coaster. It wasn't fun. It wasn't. So my mountain, what I determined in high school was I'm going to work my butt off. I'm going to get 4.0. I'm going to get the grades. I'm going to get into college. I'm going to get a degree in chemical engineering, and I'm going to pursue this career, this mountain. And I was strong-willed. And here's the thing. I graduated in 2010 with a degree in chemistry, a degree in chemical engineering, an applied mathematics minor. I go, yeah, I got it. My resume looked awesome. Awesome. It was an incredible resume. I scoffed at other resumes. Full of pride I was, full of pride. Here's the thing, I graduated in 2010. Do you remember what the economy was like in 2010? Everyone was hit by that. Graduates the most, no one was hiring in 2010. That was at the height of the recession. It was God's sovereign hand in my life. I fasted and prayed, and I said, God, please, you know my dream? Give me direction. And all he told me when I fasted and prayed for a whole week was, stay in Gainesville, stay plugged into the college ministry. Keep serving Pastor AJ in the college ministry. I said, okay, there's only one chemical plant in Gainesville. You know that guy. Said, yeah, I know. Okay, so to make a long story short, I never got a job at that chemical plant, okay? Never got a job. Instead, I threw newspapers at night to make ends meet. I worked in a warehouse at night. I did landscaping, which was fun. Thank you, Kaivon, for giving me a job. All these seasons were tests, and it was God's process of taking me off of my mountain and putting me on his mountain. I always felt a call to ministry, but I always said, well, I'm going to accomplish my dream first, and then when I retire, of course, I'll be a pastor. God had different plans. He just had different plans. And his plans are always good, because honestly, I can tell you, I'm so full and content right now doing the will of God, climbing the mountain that he's called me to do. It's so true, and I can attest to that. I just want to encourage you, when you climb God's mountain, it's full of joy and peace. There's opportunities to be fully content. It's incredible when you just strip yourself of all the heavy baggage, and that's really the next thing. Contentment is choked out by idols. That's your next fill in the blank. Contentment is choked out by idols. It's that heavy weight. In fact, the reason why I say choked out is because really God describes it as weeds that just spring up in your heart and just choke out the word of God. It's so sad. I'm going to read this lengthy passage from Luke chapter 8. And I only put part of it in your notes, the meat of what I want to share with you. But just give some context. This is Jesus. I love Jesus. He always knew what he was talking about. The Son of God, fully man. And he just starts teaching in parables about a farmer is going out to sow seed, and he's talking about four different types of soils. One's just, it doesn't even fall on the soil. It falls on the road, and the birds come up and snatch it, fly away with it. One falls on stony ground, and the seed goes in, but it doesn't go in deep. The roots don't grow, and it just withers and dies when the sun scorches it. One seed falls among thorns and thistles and weeds, and it grows, takes root and grows, but it doesn't bear any fruit because the weeds just kind of choke it all out. And then one seed falls on good soil, where it grows and produces an amazing harvest. And everyone's scratching their head going, why is he talking about? I mean, yeah, we know this. We're farmers. I mean, we know agriculture. They lived in a land where agriculture was kind of a big deal. And he's like telling them stuff they already know. Like, why are you telling us about? And his disciples asked him, and this is what Jesus said. In verse 11 of chapter 8, he says this. This is the meaning of the parable. This is the meaning of the parable. Kevin, do you have that? Chapter 8, verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. My prayer is that no one in here would experience that. No one. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be saved. Verse 13. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. That's stony ground. That means you have no real depth in your relationship with God. You may hear the word and you go, "Ah, that was a great message. I was encouraged." And then you go home and you go, immediately start looking at porn, immediately start yelling out at your wife, or immediately start, you know, cursing God. It's, you don't have the depth in your heart. It comes from a relationship with God. You need that depth so that the word of God can grow deep, take roots deep. Verse 14 says, the seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares. Catch this, it's crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. A lot of Christians kind of stay in this soil. Their hearts kind of stay in this. And I want to give you some keys to get those weeds out of there. Verse 15, all the seeds that fell on the good ground, good soil, represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. You catch that? Huge. God wants a huge harvest out of you. Huge. There's good plans for your life. That's something to hold on to and hope for and believe. Hold on to that. It's God's plan for your life. Thank you, Lord. The next verse, scripture that I have for you is 1 John 5, verse 21. It says, dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. Just keep away from it. Don't look at it. Don't touch it. Don't be tempted by it. Pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation into that thing. Help me, God. Help me. I want to talk about four basic idols. These are like really true motivating factors that contribute to like idols. And these, I call them the four basic idols. And really, I can't take credit for this. I remember the first time Pastor AJ taught this on a Friday night. So plug. I love you, Pastor AJ. And he taught me this and just gripped my heart. It gripped my heart. Lord, help me. There are two of these that I definitely struggled with. And I'm tempted to struggle with from time to time. Let's go through them. The first idol is power. A longing for influence or recognition. Usually strong-willed people struggle with this the most. Usually. Not all. but that personality, strong personality type, usually can be influenced by this. Power, longing for influence or recognition. The second one is control. Control. A longing to have everything, keyword everything, go according to my plan. I'll give you a little hint. That was me. Yeah. The next one is comfort. A longing for pleasure. People who have to have a five-bedroom home have to, well, there's nothing wrong with a five-bedroom home, by the way. Nothing. But it's just the people who have to have all the good stuff in life, have to, are not happy unless they have it. And they'll do everything they can to climb the mountain to get it. Okay? So, again, all these idols are all the motivating factors behind us climbing whatever mountain we're climbing. They can be, I'm saying. And they're definitely dead weight if we're trying to climb God's mountain. Definitely dead weight. The next idol is approval, a longing to be accepted or desired. Again, that was me too. Those are my two. Just open up. Control, approval. I praise God that he set me free from that. And he can set you free from any one of these idols. I mean, these are very foundational. Some people say, oh, they idolize money. But why do you idolize money? Why do you want to go after that money? Is it to buy you approval from your parents? Because they said that you needed to have that money? Is it to give you comfort? Because you just long after having that plush life. Is it to control? Because with money, if you have a lot of money, you can control a lot of stuff. That's what I wanted. I want money so I could control, keep everything steady, baby. Keep it steady. Smooth sailing. Or is it for power? You can use it for power. Very foundational. I want to encourage you. All you have to do is go to God and say, Lord, like King David prayed after he royally screwed up with Bathsheba. If you guys don't know the story, he I can't even go into it. It's just so long. I want to encourage you to look it up and read it because he was responsible for murdering one of his soldiers to have his wife and cover up his sin, and it was terrible. Bathsheba was a woman that he had relations with, and she got pregnant because of him, and it was this terrible scandal in the kingdom. And David wrote a psalm to repent. I mean, his heart was to repent. I mean, it was terrible what he did, but his heart was repentant. And what he said is, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. Search my heart, please. He asked to be forgiven, which is important. It's important to be forgiven. But he also realized that if his heart didn't change, he was just going to fall right back into that again. Like someone getting clean and then just going out and just going, I'm going to jump in the mud and just roll around. It's the same thing. I want to encourage you, pray for forgiveness regarding these idols, but also pray for a new heart. Pray for a clean heart. Pray that God just starts pulling out those weeds, and he will. He does it in such a loving way, too. And if you wait on it and patiently on his process, and everyone's process is a little bit different. I don't want to make too many blanket statements, but everyone's process is a little bit different. But God is faithful. I make that statement. God is faithful, and he's going to accomplish his work in you to deliver you from those idols if you ask for it and you're sincere about it. God gives us grace to overcome. He gives us grace to overcome. The cool thing about Jesus is Scripture says that he's our high priest who can sympathize with where we're at, because it says that he was tempted in every single way that we were tempted. That means no matter what you're being tempted by, Jesus knows exactly what it feels like to be tempted in that way. And it also says that he's our advocate. He's our advocate. That means he stands right next to your Heavenly Father and prays for you, intercedes for you, and says, Father, I know what they're going through. I was tempted just like them. I know how hard that is. Help them. Help them. We have a high priest who can sympathize with where we're at. I love that about God. I love that about God. And there's grace to overcome. I want to encourage you. There's grace to overcome. Our response should be in this, in your notes. Our response, turn away from idols. Just turn your back. Turn away and just walk away from them. Drop them. Drop them where you are. When you're climbing your mountain, drop them and just keep climbing and go towards God. Turn away from those idols. And really, the only way to do that is inwardly in your heart, you smash them. Smash those idols. The ladies' small group that Lelaine headed up during the fall, the spring semester. They had this little project where they took, what was that material? Clay, just like molding clay. And they fashioned themselves what their idols were, just a little representation. And it kind of hardens on its own. And I forgot it at home. I was going to take it and just throw it on the ground. I just smashed it. Maybe it wouldn't have been good. I didn't check with PB to see if that was okay. But that's what you have to do, and that's what their plan is. I guess you guys are still waiting to do that. You're going to get together and just throw your idols on the ground. Yeah. It's just a representation of what you're doing in your heart. That's how you can truly be free from those idols. Really. So there are different ways that I want to encourage you guys to respond from this is and to get content, to get contentment in your heart. You need to be grateful. Go and fill that in. Explain. Be grateful. Be grateful. So important. I mean, there's so much to be grateful for in this country. I don't think I have to go into much detail about it. It's just we live a very nice life in this country compared to the rest of the world. So when we get tunnel vision is when we forget this, but get some perspective. All you have to do is turn on the news, and you go, okay, this world stinks. My life isn't so bad. You know, people are dying all the time, being persecuted. There's a great scripture, Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ, Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. You can't be thankful. I mean, really, thankfulness and peace, they go together. And all of it allows you to be content. And Jesus promised, peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, but as I give. I leave you peace. And it's the peace that's inside that is just incredible. It stands the test of time. No matter what comes, you can have peace in your heart. And it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Don't let those idols rule. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Thank you, Lord. Next thing we need to do and respond is we need to hold on to God's promises. Hold on to God's promises. Hold on to that. Hold on to hope. Romans 5:5 says this, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. Come on now. You hear that saying, don't get your hopes up. Why? Why? Why not get your hopes up? You can get your hopes up in something God's promised you because he's faithful to it. Now, the reason why people say don't get your hopes up is because they're climbing their own mountain. They're climbing their own mountain, they're doing their own thing, and guess what? They're getting frustrated. And they got their hopes up. Hopes deferred makes their heart sick, and their heart's sick, and they get bitter. They get bitter at other people around them, they get bitter at God. Get on God's mountain. Get on God's mountain. God's good. He's got good plans for you. He said, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. That's his promise to us. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. Come on. He's given us his love. I just want to share a little. I mean, this scripture makes so much sense to me when I think about my own life and my mom. My mom is an incredible woman. She's still alive. My mom is an incredible woman. And I just remember how she demonstrated her love to me. And one of the ways was just quality time with me. After a baseball game, little league baseball game, I knew every time that my mom would take me to the local Christian bookstore where it was like when Christian bookstores were just becoming kind of popular, and they had like coffee and bagels, and like, I go, whoa, this is Christian? I didn't know like Christian stuff could be cool or like, you know, could be nice. And it was like, wow, this is a really nice place. And so she would take me there, and she'd buy me a bagel, buy me some cream cheese, and I very delicately and perfectly put the cheese on that bagel. Was just smooth and perfect and delicious and amazing. And I just sat there with my mom. We just shoot the breeze. There wasn't a single game that took place where I didn't know without a doubt my mom was going to take me to that place to get the bagel. I did not fear any kind of calamity or some type of like, oh, my mom's just not going to come through. Why? Because I knew she loved me. I knew she loved me. I knew she loved me. And Mom, I know you're watching this online. I love you. I love you. I love you. And Dad, I love you too. Both of you are amazing. I love you. Anyway, but here's the thing about God. If we know his love for us, if we know deep down his love for us, We don't have to worry about calamity. You don't have to worry about, you can be content and just joyful and hope. God's got your back. God's going to take care of everything. If you're climbing his mountain, he's going to see you through. He's going to give you the oxygen tank. He's going to bring you to the top. Amen. Here's the thing. The next thing that we need to do in response to all this is we need to protect the boundaries of our hearts. Protect the boundaries of your heart. Because when God gives you a brand new heart, we are charged. We are commanded. Commanded. Let's go to that scripture. Proverbs 4, verse 23. We're commanded. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. You catch that? It determines the course of your life. Such an important revelation to get is that when you get this new heart from God, you have to guard it. And the reason why I word it this way, protect the boundaries of your heart, is because whenever you put guards at a gate, you know, around a property, you put them at the edge, right, to guard your property. That's what we do with this heart that God's given us. We put guards on the boundary. We don't let them just walk through the front gate and go, hey. We don't do that. We shoot them down right at the edge. That was a little morbid on Sunday morning, but in your heart, you got to do that. Put some gun turrets on that. Take them out. Don't let anything into your heart that's gonna be between you and God. Just don't do it. Thank you, Lord. Next thing we need to do is focus on loving God. This is the next fill in the blank. Focus on loving God and loving others. You got that slide, Kevin? No? Okay, that's okay. A little miscommunication, but that's what it is. Focus on loving God and loving others. That's the fill in the blank. It's really true, because when you get your heart focused outward, you're able to be content. You are, because your mind isn't focused on yourself and what you want, what you need, what you don't have. It's like you're focused on others and other people's needs. You're able to be content. I'm telling you, it's going to set you up for contentment. It's very hard to be content when you're only focused on yourself. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 says this. Then the king, who's this king? This is King Jesus. This is Jesus talking about himself. Then the king will say to those on his right, actually, this whole passage is about our final judgment before God. When this world is going to pass away, we're going to die. All of us are going to die at some point in our lives, and we're going to be able to stand before our heavenly king. King Jesus will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Next verse. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. That's incredible. There's another verse, right? Verse 36. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. That is God's heart. And these people are standing, Jesus is talking about, these people who are going to stand before him, they're going to say, when did we ever do this to you, Jesus? And he said, what you've done to the least of these in this world, you've done unto me. That's incredible. So that's why I say focus on loving God and loving others around you. You have to have your heart focused outward to people and their needs. And I guarantee you, when you do that, God's going to take care of your needs. He is. He's going to take care of your needs. And I want to encourage everyone, just take that responsibility right now. You know what? I'm going to take care of my brothers and sisters around me. I'm going to take care of the lost and the sick and the dying. I'm going to use what God's given me, and I'm going to say, Lord, it's not much, but just use it. If you mean that from your heart, you're going to be able to be very content in this life. You are. You're going to be so content because you're not going to be just focused on yourself and on what you want and what you're not getting. Focusing on others and just the love of God just pouring you. And also he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you anyway. So God's just going to bless you anyway when you focus on him and climb his mountains. So I'm going to wrap it up with this. There are some next steps that I put down on your sermon notes. Next steps. How are you going to get this pure heart to climb God's mountain? How are you going to do it? Take 7 days this week, starting today, which you already have a head start because you've heard my message. So take 7 days this week. Each day, reflect on these scriptures and these responses. Reflect on it. I would hope that I don't see any filled out sermon notes just lying around because we always clean up after service. Please don't do that. Take it with you. Take it with you. And each day, reflect on these scriptures and these responses. Here's a key. Ask God for help to be pure-hearted and content. If you ask, he'll give it to you. And repeat these steps sincerely. Amen. Morning, Victory Church. Love you.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. You give us something to work on this week. Amen. Pure heart. Let's just have a word of prayer and think about what Pastor Mike shared, some powerful scriptures. And as he said, you know, there's a scripture in James where he warns, he says, let's not be deceived thinking that just because we are hearers of the word, that we're actually doers of the word. We got to do both. We got to hear, and we heard some things. You know, that's why we came today. We expect to hear from God. God, speak into our hearts. And let's just take a minute and pray and ask God, God, am I climbing my own mountain? Is there a mountain in my life that I've created that's not your mountain? And I'm asking for help, and it's not really working, and I'm kind of frustrated. And maybe it's not your mountain. You need to know that, because if it's God's mountain, then you need to persevere. You need to hang in there. You need to trust, and you need to believe, and you just need to keep on keeping on and be content until things go the way that you want. But maybe we ought to just take a minute right now and just bring it before God. And are we humble enough to offer the mountain to God and hear his voice and say, you know what, that's really not my mountain, that's your mountain? I'm just going to give you a minute. Just sit there and pray and talk to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us, speaking to our hearts. And all this week, Lord, we just want to make a decision to come before you every day this week and continue this process and ask you to show us stuff that we're trying to do that you're not asking us to do, and that you would show us what you do want us to do and show us areas that we need to persevere, because you've already told us this is the thing to do, and we've grown weary in well-doing in some areas, and maybe we've got mad at you. We repent. We ask you to forgive us for getting mad at you, because your timing is not our timing and our timing's not your timing. Help us to trust you and just to keep on believing. And I got a very important question for you today, and that's this. I mean, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? That's a pretty important consequence to be leaving to chance. And maybe you need to be sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. Does anybody know that? Yeah. Jesus said you need to know that you have eternal life. How do you get that? You surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He forgives your sins. He comes, lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that, maybe that's why you're here today. Or maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Maybe God spoke to you today and it's time to get a fresh start. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If God's working on you right now and you want to get a fresh start, would you just slip up your hand real quick? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to lead you in a prayer. Everybody help them. Just pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Can't save myself. Please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer, meant business with God.